And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday.
Yes, it's Michael Savage not taking the day off, not rushing it into another 12-day vacation. Welcome to the program. I am an American and I work. And I know many people like to take this weekend and wrap off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and a Monday. I don't get it. Doesn't anyone want to work anymore? So what am I going to talk about? There's so much to talk about that I'll go slow, because many of you are not ready to talk about much. You're still getting over the tryptophan from the turkey and the family and the drinking and the eating and the fact that you have very little to look forward to now except maybe a day off in Christmas and then a long, long haul until another vacation. It's hard working when you work for a living. Now, if you're on welfare, every day is the same to you. It's a golden day. The government sends the checks. They come like clockwork. You can claim you're a victim because you're not getting enough from the government. What could be better? So over the weekend, let's see some high points. I won't bore you with the Thanksgiving dinner. I put some pictures up of Teddy eating at the restaurant with us on my Facebook page. You know, it was funny. Teddy thanks God he wasn't born a turkey. I used that line before, but it's still true. Believe me, he's glad he was that species rather than the other one. And let's see, I caught a cold in the restaurant because there was no heater on with my back to the wall. Do you ever go to a restaurant and eat with your gloves on? I mean, I like the restaurant. I'll go there for the next 25 years if I'm still around. No heat in the room. I had to wear gloves and a scarf to eat Thanksgiving dinner. Well, it was sort of like a pilgrim dinner in that regard. It was so cold, I felt like I was a pilgrim. The only thing missing were the arrows coming in from the window. So I watched a boxing match over the weekend, the heavyweight title fight between Klitschko and this guy, you gotta believe this. Even if you're not a boxing fan, you gotta listen to this story. The new champion is 6'9". He's part Irish, part, they call themselves travelers, part gypsy. Now, I never heard of the man. He's awesome. I love this guy. And they hate him. All of the, liberal newspapers hate this guy, Tyson Fury. They're calling him a Bible-thumping bigot and a homophobe. You hear this? Can you believe we live in a world where the guy wins the heavyweight championship and the best they can do at the New York Post under Murdoch Jr. is call him a bigot because he, listen to this, he wins the fight against Klitschko, who was an embarrassment. Klitschko's this big Ukrainian fighter who I've idolized for years. He's an embarrassment to the boxing profession. He didn't even lift his hands to fight back. He tried to, I don't want to go into the details of it. Klitschko's a big guy. He's like 6'5", and he's always looked down on fighters and been able to pound them from above. Well, now he faces a 6'9", 280-pound giant, Tyson Fury. And this guy, well, I'll tell you more about it in a minute. After he wins, he gives a speech. It's traditional. And he thanks his Lord Jesus Christ for the victory. That's number one. Now, remember, the fight took place in Dusseldorf, Germany. This is at a time when the Muslims are on a warpath around the world, especially in the East German, Merkel's Germany. They're on a warpath. Everyone's afraid to say that they're Christian, not him. The guy gets up after he wins, Tyson Fury, and he says, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says it maybe five times. And then on and on and on he goes. And to top it off, he picks up the microphone. I never saw this in my life. And he says, I want to sing a song to my lovely wife. And he breaks into a rock song to his wife who is in the ring. I've never seen anything like this guy. He's 280 pounds. He's 6'9" or 7 feet tall. And he was born as a 1 pound infant. Did you know that? He was born 3 months premature at 1 pound. Doctors feared he wouldn't survive, but his father had no doubt. John Fury told the Mirror before Tyson Fury dethroned Vladimir Klitschko in a 12-round decision in Germany. He said this, he said, I told him God was looking down on him. I said he'll be all right. He will be 7 feet, 280 pounds, and heavyweight champion of the world, and I named him Tyson after Mike Tyson. Well, he's 6'9", he weighs 250 pounds. And he's now heavyweight champion of the world because Klitschko didn't even lift his hands. It was an embarrassment. But this guy, this Fury, is of Irish gypsy heritage, and he comes from a bloodline of bare-knuckle champions on both sides of his family. Fury said, I'm proud of what I am. The traveler background gives you the will to win before anything else you learn to fight. When we have a dispute, we sort it out with our fists. Listen to this. I mean, this guy is so un-PC, it's amazing. Wait, it gets even better. That's why they hate him in the New York Post. He says he has his unusual upbringing and devout Christian faith to thank for his success. But critics have said his controversial views make him a bad role model. Now, what has he said that's bad? You decide for yourself if he's a bad role model. He says there are only three things that need to be accomplished before the devil comes home. One of them is homosexuality being legal in countries. One of them is abortion, and the other one's pedophilia. Mr. Fury told the Daily Mail early this month. Who would have thought that in the 50s and 60s, he said, that those first two would be legalized? Well, those are controversial views. They get even more controversial. Are ready for these? Tyson Fury, the new heavyweight champion, went on. He said, a woman is there to be loved, cook food, and have some kids. Like Muslims have their ways, we have ours. There are girls who open their legs to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. They're looked upon as rubbish. If I had a sister who did that, I'd hang her, Fury said. Now, you realize that this kind of rhetoric can't be allowed in Obama's America. Fury said he modeled his career on the man he was named after, the baddest man on the planet. And on and on. If you want to read more about him and see his picture, it's on michaelsavage.com. I enjoyed the fight thoroughly. I loved it. So I went on YouTube and I looked up Tyson Fury, by the way. There was an earlier fight against a smaller guy, a black guy. I never heard of him or that guy. And I saw trash talk before the fight that was unbelievable. He says to the other guy, he says, I was born fighting. He says, you're nothing. He says, I could beat you in the ring. I can beat you out of the ring. He said, I come from eight generations of bare knuckle fighters. He says, I'll crush you in the ring. Well, in the second round, the black guy knocked him on his behind. It was amazing to see the look on his face. He went down like a ton of bricks, but he got up and beat him in the 10th round. But the point is, you got to watch some of this guy to see what we now have leading the boxing world. It's a whole new world. It's a whole new world of those, for those of you who don't even like boxing. And that's a sort of non-political story of what I enjoyed the most over the weekend. I must say I caught a cold. And while my family flew up to Lake Tahoe, I missed that flight because I couldn't take the pressure and I didn't want to give my granddaughter a cold. So I missed out on that one. I was alone all weekend with the dog. But hey, what are you going to do? The dog is pretty good. As a man I met over the weekend said to me, they are our unsung heroes. They sure are, and they give us the love that the rest of us, well, can't find in the world around us. It's a pretty cold world out there. Don't blame Obama for that. He's just a symptom of it, not the cause of it, obviously. But the clown is in Europe right now, talking about climate as the greatest threat to the survival of mankind. He gets more clownish by the day. It's astounding to listen to this clown as he speaks about climate being a graver threat to our survival than ISIS. It's astounding how brainwashed these people really are. Now, you have to hear this guy's speech. It was so awful. We'll play a piece of it now and again, but I want to tell you what happened. Obama spoke at this climate talk filled with the world's gangsters, see if they could rip off the rich countries and steal money off the top and send some of it down to the poorer countries so the leaders of the poorer countries can rip the money off and buy yachts and travel around and do what they do with their money. And, of course, you know, no one will benefit from it but the leadership. So he gives a speech, and there's a wrap-it-up beeping that occurs to all the speakers. You know, at the Oscars, there's a wrap-it-up music. When you speak a certain amount of time, you get a three-minute slot, and that's it, where you outline your vision for the future of the planet. So this loudmouth of ours, this thing full of hot air, went on and on and on for 8.5 minutes into the address, and he couldn't stop shooting his mouth off, emitting foul gases. So you hear three beeps sounding across the auditorium. Everyone heard it around the world except the loudmouth from Honolulu, Barry, that is. Listen to one of the sounds and listen to how he goes on. Listen.
Here in Paris, let's reaffirm our commitment that resources will be there for countries willing to do their part to skip the dirty phase of development. And I recognize this will not be easy. It will take a commitment to innovation and the capital to continue driving down the cost of clean energy.
All right, well, you get the picture. Here. He wouldn't shut up. He's such a foul egotist. The beeps went on every 30 seconds, but the deranged president kept plowing on. He continued and he said, one of the enemies that we'll be fighting at this conference is cynicism, the notion we can't do anything about climate change. And he went on undeterred by the regular interruptions over his lying speech. He went on to talk about a world that is worthy of our children. Well, after 11 minutes, whoever was manning the beep button had gave up on him, and no more prompts were heard until the egomaniac ended his epic discourse just shy of 14 minutes. Now listen to this. By the time the egomaniac was done, he had spoken for nearly the length of time set aside for four world leaders. If all 147 speakers had taken as long as the deranged Obama, their combined addresses would have lasted more than 33 hours. And now you want to know the rest of the story? You'll get it right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. I think it's over. That era is over. I know the music's still out there. I mean, I've gone to a few local places over the years, but it's a different universe. Go out in the Mission District here in San Francisco. There's some good music for sure, but I don't know. Maybe the music itself is not as good. Some of the guys are astounding musicians. Why am I talking about that instead of Obama? Why not? I already gave you Klitschko's Fall and the Rise of the Gypsy Giant. No calls. I didn't do this one yet. It's ISIS versus Christ in the world, by the way. Has anyone put it to you that way? Did you know it's ISIS versus Christ? I'll make it as simple as I can for the, this is called Politics for Dummies. It's ISIS versus Christ. Now throw in the Jews as if you want us to, because they'd like to kill every Jew on the planet. And by the way, they say so. It's in their holy book. They hold up the holy book as they try to bomb a Jewish center or a Jewish clinic or bomb a Christian church. Oh, it's in their holy book, all right. It's ISIS versus Christ. But don't ask the dunce in Paris who's telling you climate's a bigger threat. You got to ask yourself, which side is the dunce on? So I talked about that. There's another story. I'm not ready for it yet. It's too complicated for the average person listening to the show. And I know it. I can do it. I saw an article this morning back in the USSR, how today's Russia is like the Soviet era. So that's a hit piece on Russia. They all hate Putin. The American dunces who hate America. In other words, the entire press corps. I'm talking about Tapwater, Blitzer, idiots like that. The official government press in the United States is ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and by the way, Fox News. You can throw Fox News into the mix of the official government press. Why do I say it? I just saw a poll on climate change on the Fox News channel. I looked carefully. It said, do you think a United States should sign the climate treaty? 66% say yes. They're quoting a CBS poll. Now, why would Fox News quote a CBS New York Times poll unless they're part and parcel of the same establishment mentality? Answer is they wouldn't, because they are. So now you can put an X through Fox News. Yes, okay, I know they don't like me. I know I'm not allowed on the station, but it's not sour grapes. It's so apparent to me that since Murdoch Jr. took over, this place has become uninhabitable for conservatives. The only thing, well, okay, let's stop right there. I'll stay on a good track. I'll stay on a positive track. So the poll is false. CBS, New York Times poll? You're kidding me. So all the media in America hates Putin, even though he's now revered by most people in the world, for the only one with the guts to take on ISIS, because Barry from Honolulu, this thin, smoking, hostile man in the White House, is so jealous, or shall I say envious, of Putin's strength, resolve, and also because they're on the opposite sides of this issue. Let me tell you something. If you study world events the way I do every day of my life since I'm 18, your president is backing ISIS, which is why he hates Putin. There's no other way to... I'll cut to the chase. Obama is backing ISIS. I mean, what, are you got to be a genius to figure this out? All the weapons they use are U.S.-made weapons. Turkey shot down a Russian jet, which, by the way, was shot down over Syrian airspace, and it landed in Syria. There was no warning given. All of you who supported Turkey should be ashamed of yourself. You're nothing but holdovers from the Reagan era. You're so stupid that you think that this is the same Russia as the Soviet Union that Ronald Reagan hated. You idiots can't grow up. You can't open your mind to what's going on here. You're now on the side of Turkey and the ISIS groups. That's what you are. So now NBC tries to do a hit piece on Putin. So they do a piece called Back in the USSR, How Today's Russia is Like the Soviet Era. And they start to do the hit piece. So now, here they list how it's like that. One, the anthem. One of the freshly elected decisions was to restore the Soviet national anthem from 1944, the one he grew up with. Two-thirds of the Russian population approved of the move by 02. So that's a bad thing to the communists in this country. Or shall I say the new socialists in this country? Or shall I say the men without a country in this country? So they don't like the Russian anthem. That's a sign that they're living in the Soviet era. And it says the party. In Soviet times, there were no parties other than the Communist Party, and membership was a prerequisite for career advancement. Why don't you just substitute the word Democrat Party and tell me if it's any different in America today? Tell me if it's different amongst the news media today and amongst the politicians today.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
In a world of hatred, I can't hear myself think. It dies down to, I don't know, maybe I'll, it's not me. I should work the slider. But anyway, the point is, it's a different universe. People dance to forget their problems. They dance till 4 o'clock in the morning, go to work at 5. I don't know how they do it. I couldn't do it. I never did, even when I was a kid. I'd be home in bed by 2 o'clock. How can you stay out till 5 and go to work in the morning? Stoned out of your mind. Look at the workplace. So, there's so many things I want to talk about. But I'm warming you up still. I don't know what it is. Today's Monday. I got a little bit of a cold. Most people are not even listening. They're still on vacation. They're still on Zunk. They're in Zunkville. What is it like? It took off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday also off. What in the world? Where are they? What are people doing on vacation this long? 5 days, what, drinking and eating? Parasailing, ziplining? This is what you live for? This is 5 million years of evolution to get drunk on a holiday? I was thinking about that, too. It's an interesting fact, but, you know, ISIS, they don't drink. Muslims don't drink. No alcohol, right? That's why they're unhappy all the time. There's no relief for them, these murderers. The only relief they get is raping and cutting people's throats. So I once had a solution to this problem. I know it's absurd. Instead of dropping bombs for all your peacenicks, what do you think about them flying overhead? And the U.S. Air Force under Obama, not dropping bombs, but dropping tens of thousands of plastic bottles of airplane booze, you know, the one-ounce shots, various types, and copies of Playboy all over the ISIS strongholds. I don't know, maybe that'll stop them. Maybe they'll wake up to how stupid they are. Look what they're missing. You know, but if it's a battle between caffeine and alcohol, I don't know who's going to win this one. Alcohol worked to tame the world, by the way. For hundreds of years, the West used alcohol to deaden their feelings as they conquered third world nations and exploited the natives. And so they used alcohol to deaden their feelings as they did these things. But now that political correctness has infected the entire West, you couple that with alcohol, it's a functionless military. So I go back to this article, this hit piece by Back in the USSR, How Today's Russia is Like the Soviet Era. They try to put a hit piece on it. So they start with the anthem, then the party. There's no parties other than the Communist Party. And I say, oh, yeah, well, substitute the Democrat Party and see if that doesn't apply here in America. Now we go to spies. Here's what they write. By the mid-2000s, up to 80% of the Russian ruling establishment was made up of people with backgrounds in security services, according to a study. The trend was confirmed in numerous subsequent studies. Above all, this included the Soviet secret police, the KGB, which handled counter-espionage and brutally suppressed political dissent. Okay, that's real. Now, the KGB successor to the Federal Security Service, the FSB, okay, FSB, if you watch Homeland, that's the FSB, is now both powerful and feared. It is tasked with fighting spies and extremists. but it also monitors the political opposition to the government. Now, question. FBI in America, CIA in America, DIA in America, all DHS in America, don't you think that they're both powerful and feared? And don't you think they're tasked with fighting not only spies and extremists, but also the American people themselves? Don't you think these organizations in America also monitor the political opposition to Obama's socialist government? Well, of course they do. So what's the difference between the Soviet Union and the USA in this regard? Very little. Dissidents. Now listen to this, what they write, trying to hit, Putin. They write this. Joseph Stalin, the Soviet Union's feared leader who ran the country with an iron fist from 24 to 53, purged, imprisoned, and executed his critics. Even in post-Stalin times, the regime punished those who threatened or disagreed with it. So dissidents were fired, jailed, expelled, confined to psychiatric wards, and harassed by the KGB. That's all true. I read my Solzhenitsyn. But what does it have to do with Putin? They don't do that anymore. They say Russia's opposition today also fights an asymmetric battle. Its leaders face criminal cases and regular arrests. Thugs harass them at events, and officials drown them in red tape. I said, really? Now let's look at America. Let's see what the Obama opposition faces. Let's see. Do the opposition, the opponents of Obama, face criminal cases? Oh, yeah. How about that bakery case? How about all of the people who were punished by the illegal, illegitimate, fascistic IRS or the EPA? Then it says that in Russia, thugs harass opposition leaders at events. Are you telling me that conservatives are not harassed at every event by government thugs or by thugs in America who are working for the government, such as Black Lives Matter, like the National Action Network under Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson thugs? Are you telling me that they're not thugs who are fundamentally working with and for the government? And then they finish by saying, and officials in Russia drown their opponents in red tape. Oh, really? The IRS and the EPA don't do that in our country? Okay, now let's go down the list. I'm deconstructing this for you. This is a very important thing for you to understand. So NBC, in their attempt to continue to smear Putin, are trying to say it's like the Soviet Union, but they can't do it. Moreover, everything they say about Russia applies to America under Obama. I'll read you another one. Media control. Soviet media broadcast only what officials wanted it to, and access to foreign media was banned. In the 2000s, one of Putin's first moves was to bring back under state control the leading television channels, Russia's main source of information. They have since turned into pro-government vehicles. I'm going to ask you straight out, are you telling me that Jake Tapwater, Wolf Blitzer, any of the other clowns on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, or even Fox News, are you telling me then they're not exactly like state-controlled media? Tell me how they differ. Tell me that they're not pro-government vehicles. And then they go on and they undermine their own argument. And they say, nevertheless, Russia has many independent small media outlets that offer alternative points of view. Now, because of the internet cable and the accessibility of international print media, Russians can get their hands on a wide variety of organizations. And so what's their point? So there is no overt media control like in the Soviet Union. Now we get down to the meat of what they're really getting to here. Are you ready for this? Let's go to the bottom of this hit piece. Here it comes. This is the mother of all lies. Homophobia. In Soviet times, sodomy, quote unquote, was punished with up to 5 years in prison. In Putin's Russia, quote, promotion of homosexuality, unquote, to minors carries fines and arrests, and public displays of same-sex affection or transgender behavior can result in public abuse. Now they undermine themselves. But homosexuality is not a crime anymore. Even if some people are intolerant of it, and public figures often speak out against it. Ladies and gentlemen, I rest my case. The fact of the matter is, you know and I know, there are no dangers for people of different sexual orientations in Russia. You know that as well as I. But you also know that there's a war against Putin for a number of reasons, and one of the reasons is this. This is the Savage Nation. Now let's go to calls, 855-407-2828. WABC John, welcome to the program. What's on your mind today?
Dr. Savage, several things. When you drop those little airplane bottles on ISIS, you ought to wrap condoms around them, too. And the left will love you for sure.
Well, I don't know about that, but just the airplane bottles and the Playboy would be plenty.
And the Klitschko fight. I watched the same fight as you. He was horrible. He didn't do anything except tackle.
He didn't lift his hands. He was doing it for the money, and he was an embarrassment to the sport. He never should have taken the fight.
I agree. And finally, Government Zero. I got that for my birthday early in the month. I just finished it, and it was perfect timing because in a sociology class that I have.
Are you allowed to bring it to school, or are you going to be fined?
How no good I am. How no good my forefathers were, and how no good this country is. But I just finished reading your book. What a fantastic book. I'm getting ready to write a paper. I'm not going to plagiarize you.
No, go ahead. Make my day. Plagiarize it. Just quote me.
I'm going to give credit where it's due. But you just made my assignment so much easier.
Well, thank you very much for being so kind with your comments. I want to read a paragraph. I wasn't going to do it, but it fits right in. There's a new Wikipedia entry by a physicist named Dr. Jack Sarfati. And here's what he wrote. He said, Savage's latest political book is Government Zero, a well-reasoned, powerfully written critique of the Obama administration's foreign and domestic policies, including Hillary Clinton's tenure as Secretary of State. Savage supports Vladimir Putin's policy in Syria and accuses Obama of wanting to destroy Israel. Whether you like him or not, he wrote, Putin is another example of a real leader, page 38. Once Iran has the bomb, he'll blackmail Israel into giving up Judea and Samaria, writes Savage. Not only do they hate the traditional Judeo-Christian values that Israel and America were founded upon, but to liberals like Obama and his fellow travelers in the universities of America and Europe, Israel is the reason the Muslims are on the warpath. This is one of the great lies you'd expect from Adolf Hitler's Ministry of Propaganda, page 75. There's many other things that were written very well. And of course, as you well know, the haters are going onto Wikipedia to try to undo the truth about me and my book. 855-400-7282. Ray on WABC, what's your topic today?
Yeah, I think Putin's doing a great job attacking ISIS. I think the citizens over there are more safe than we are here.
Let me explain something to you. This is something that the rats at the New York Times have not yet reported. But you know the quote, Turkoman, who shot down the Russian fighter jet on behest of the fascist Muslim dictator Erdogan in Turkey? They don't exist anymore. Do you know that Putin wiped them off the planet? The so-called Turkoman were moderate terrorists. They were Obama's moderate terrorists, who we have been funding and giving weapons to. Do you know that as well?
No.
No, see, let me explain something. While everyone sleeps, I do my homework. Remember we heard that the Russian fighter jet was shot down over Turkey? It wasn't over Turkey. It was shot down over Syria. So that's egg all over the face of the neocons and the media who immediately jumped against Putin and said he got what he deserved. You should be ashamed of yourself because you're on the side of Erdogan and ISIS. Now, number two, the Turkmen, so-called, were Obama's, quote, moderate terrorists. Moderate terrorists. Now, isn't that an oxymoron? It is, of course, except to the sorority that runs America. The moderate terrorists are the ones who shot down the plane. Putin unleashed hellfire on them from naval ships, from airplanes. They're no longer existent. He wiped them off the planet. But you don't know about that. So the fact of the matter is a lot is going on behind the scenes, and I try to look behind the scenes to see what it is to bring to you to the show every day. That opens up one line at 855-400-7282. Yeah, there's a lot of good callers out there. We don't have to stick to this. Rich on WMAL, what's your topic? Fire away.
Yes. As far as Putin is concerned, I love the guy. And, you know, if I were president of this country, I'd be hunting with him three times a year. You know, this is nonsense what they want to do. And there's a lot of people in this country who understand that Putin is on the right side of this. He is Christian.
And Putin is a Christian leader standing up for Christian values around the world. And the fact of the matter is Obama is the opposite. And the battle on the planet right now is ISIS versus Christ. That's how I saw this. Do you agree with me?
Yes. I see it the same way. You know, I read WND, WorldNetDaily, InfoWars and all the articles, the most important thing I read are comments. And there's so many people who write in and comment about, you know, Putin's the guy that's going to save your butt. So, you know, I'm for Putin, I'll tell you. Putin and
well, you're not alone. If a poll were done in America that was an unbiased poll, most Americans would support him over Obama. And I'll say something else. If Putin ran for the presidency against Hillary Clinton, he'd win 80-20. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America.
We stand united in solidarity, not only to deliver justice to the terrorist network responsible for those attacks, but to protect our people and uphold the enduring values that keep us strong and keep us free. And we salute the people of Paris for insisting this crucial conference go on.
Turn away. You know, I can't listen to him anymore. He's an embarrassment on the world stage. An overgrown embarrassment. Instead of talking about the gravest threat to civilization since Adolf Hitler, he talks about global warming. That alone is a crime against humanity. What these fools, these greedy fools, are doing is rendering this world more unsafe than ever. Instead of unifying against ISIS and wiping them off the planet as issue number one, they're distracting the world with this rubbish about global warming because they want to answer to the greedy pigs in the green industry who put them there. Now let me get into the illegal immigrant situation. I want to show you how nice they are. Illegal immigrants sue Oregon over ballot measure denying licenses. Liberal Oregon went to the polls, and they passed Measure 88 last year with a strong two-thirds majority. 35 of Oregon's 36 counties voted against driver's licenses for illegal aliens, as did every congressional district in the state, most represented by Democrats. But the ACLU, a rogue terrorist legal organization, found five illegal aliens and is suing the state to overturn the will of the people. It says Measure 88 is unconstitutional because it arbitrarily denies driving privileges based on membership in a disfavored minority group. Now listen, listen very carefully. The ACLU is the linchpin to the survival or demise of this nation. They are a legal terrorist organization, in my opinion. If we had a true Republican Party, they would investigate their funding, and they would search to the ends of the earth for foreign donations, which would render them illegal.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Nah, no more. No one knows anything anymore. If it's not on the iPhone, it doesn't exist. You know, it's sad. People don't know what to do. They look in the iPhone, they think it's the Oracle that's going to lead them to everything. A date, a meal, salvation. There's no need for a Bible. No need for anything anymore, just an iPhone. The saddest picture I saw was during the attacks by the Islamo-fascists when these vermin, subhuman, carrying a Quran in one hand and a machine gun in the other were machine gunning people. And they showed some video camera inside a cafe of the people running as you would be scared to death. You don't know what to do. And I see a man in there pull out an iPhone. As the glass is flying into the cafe from the machine gun bullets hitting the glass, he's looking on his cell phone, his iPhone, for some advice on how to avoid getting killed. It was unbelievable to me. There's no ability to even put two and two together anymore. So now here in America, listen to this article. Illegal immigrants sue Oregon over ballot measure denying licenses. This is an astounding story. They got a lawsuit together, five illegal aliens who didn't belong here to begin with. They go to the ACLU, or the ACLU goes to them. The ACLU, again, I'll repeat, is a legal terrorist organization that is more powerful than Congress itself because they've planted judges throughout America. I tell you the truth, if I had the power, I would, the first order of business would be to put, well, I can't go down the line right now. If I had the power, I would outlaw George Soros from operating in America. I would outlaw the ACLU from operating in America, and I'd make them prove that they're not a domestic terrorist organization. Listen to what I'm saying to you. 35 of Oregon's 36 counties voted against licenses for illegal aliens, as did every congressional district in the state. And almost every district in that state is represented by Democrats. Nevertheless, these illegal aliens who invaded the country, no one forced them to come here. They came here willingly. These five illegal aliens who were named only by their initials because they understand what they're doing is incendiary, file a lawsuit alleging that this ballot initiative is unconstitutional because it denies driving privileges based on membership in a disfavored minority group. It goes on and alleges Oregon voters were motivated by animus toward persons from Mexico and Central America. Well, it's nonsense. Cynthia Kendall, president of Oregonians for Immigration Reform, said it's not the responsibility of Oregonians to make illegal immigrants comfortable or able to drive to jobs they don't legally have. She said they came here by choice. They weren't brought here against their will. And with those choices come hardship, she said. Now, remember, this was a public vote. It's in a Democrat state. It doesn't stop the domestic legal terrorist organization from the ACLU, of the ACLU, to go against every common sense law that's passed in this country. Now, what chance do these illegal aliens and their communist fellow travelers in the Anti-Christian Liberties Union have? Very little. You want to know why? Because federal judges are very hesitant to strike down state statutes on constitutional grounds. Let's hope that holds up when this finally gets to that level. 855-407-282. Of course, the big laugh line of the day is the I don't know what to use, what nouns to use for him anymore. I think the word Obama itself will go down in history as a verb. It won't be a name eventually. It'll be a verb. It'll be like, let's see, like he's driving, he's walking, he's talking. You could say he's Obama-ing if he's lying. Or if he's making a fool of himself, saying he's pulling an he's Obama-ing. It would have to be an Obama-ing. If he's doing something that's clownish and thinks he's brilliant, that would be an Obama-ing. This will go down as a verb. His name will become a verb for everything comedic and dangerous in the world. The clown is in Paris in the midst of the worst threat to civilization the world has seen since Hitler. And he's pushing a climate deal. And he says it's a greater threat to survival than is ISIS. I mean, it's ludicrous on the face of it. Because even if there was evidence, which there isn't, that man is affecting the climate, and that we are in fact moving into a warming rather than a cooling phase, it still would not override our number one concern, which is ISIS. They have gained more territory than the size of Great Britain because Obama has allowed them to. It's with American training and American weapons, and our Air Force has not been able to blow up a single ambulance without one of the sorority girls in Washington giving them the go-ahead. And so this clown is in Paris giving a speech. They had to beep him 100 times and he wouldn't stop yakking. Listen to the next one. Let's hear clip six. Let's see what clip six was.
We know the truth that many nations have contributed little to climate change, but will be the first to feel its most destructive effects.
Oh, God.
For some, particularly island nations whose leaders are
get off
tomorrow,
your soapbox.
Climate change is a threat to their very existence. And that's why today, in concert with other nations, America confirms our strong and ongoing commitment to the Least Developed Countries Fund.
See, a fund. Did you notice what he just said? The Least Developed Countries Fund. Now, let me ask you something. knowing that politicians are generally corrupt, knowing that non-governmental organizations are also corrupt, knowing that the entire government NGO complex is a corrupt complex, how much of the money that they're going to give to this least developed countries fund do you think will wind up saving one single coral reef? Now, I'll raise your hands if you know the answer, which is zero. The money will be stolen by the gangster leaders of these island countries. Now, look, I know what I'm talking about. I know exactly what I'm talking about. Not only from the point of view of climate science, but from the point of view of who runs these so-called island nations. I mean, you want to talk about tribes. It's like tribalism. That's all it is. It's whoever's the strongest man winds up running the country. They're not known as the smartest men. So there's a vendetta against fossil fuels. And look, we all want a cleaner earth. I've worked for it all of my life. We all want a cleaner earth. But not at the expense of our own survival, nor at the expense of the truth itself. And if we want cleaner energy, there's no cleaner energy than nuclear energy, by the way. You want me to tell you about the devastation of windmills? Would you like to know about the devastation of windmills to avian life? And I don't mean water. I mean things with wings. Do you know how many endangered birds there are now because of windmills in Scotland? Windmills offshore, off the British Isles. They're killing birds by the millions. Do you know that? The windmills are? You don't know anything about that. Didn't make it to your local paper. Okay. It's a boring topic. I get it. The safest energy, the cleanest energy is nuclear energy. You want clean energy? You want to give up on the coal? Build nuclear power plants. And then you'll have cleaner energy. But see, that's not what you want to build if you're in the green racket. If you're in the green racket, what you want to do is make sure that green money flows to you. You got to build another beach house somewhere. Now we go on to the only candidate on the Republican side who took on this narcissistic maniac on this climate lie, which is Fiorina, in clip number 11.
It is delusional for President Obama and Hillary Clinton and anyone else to say that climate change is our near-term most severe security threat. It is ISIS, amen, period, followed closely by Iran and perhaps Russia. Well, President Obama continues to think that somehow our behavior causes terrorism. So he says the climate change summit is a powerful rebuke. No, it's not.
Go on, just finish it out with 12.
The terrorists don't care that we're gathering in Paris other than it provides a target. Just as he said, well, Republicans are giving terrorists a recruiting tool and we don't think Syrian refugees should be allowed to enter this country if we cannot properly vet them. President Obama is delusional about this. He's delusional about the threat, which apparently is why he won't do anything about it.
She's got it half right. He is not delusional about the threat of ISIS. I'm sorry to tell you that all the evidence points to the fact that he is, in fact, secretly funding ISIS, because if you're not against him, you're for him. If they're using American-made weapons, if you're not letting your Air Force hit their targets, tell me which side he's on. Do you think it's easy for me to say this to you? Do you think that I'm a fool? Do you think it's easy for me to say these things to you? Do you think I have to say these things to you in order to say on the radio? I don't. I could skate over this topic. When you have an overt fellow traveler in the White House who's working with the worst enemies this nation has seen since Hitler. But I think I made my point both on the show in many cases and in my book, Government Zero, which is, if Hemingway were writing nonfiction, he would write that book. It's clear, it's concise, and it's short sentences. And I mention it because it's still important that you read it. Many of you bought it but didn't read it. I don't want to talk about you buying it. I want to talk about you reading it. Because I have a greatest chapter on zero science with regard to climate change, which truthfully I don't want to get into right now. It's Monday. Most of you are not that focused. Half the audience is still on vacation, you know, wherever they may be. And it's too heavy a topic to get into right now. Be that as it may, we're facing a very dangerous time in the human history because of the lack of intelligence amongst the world leaders in the West. They're not as intelligent as I would hope they would be. In fact, they're outright stupid. How do you have a woman like Angela Merkel invading her own nation with Syrian refugees when every poll in her own nation shows that the people don't want the Syrian refugees? How do we in America permit one unknown snake of a man a shadowy man from Honolulu? How do we permit one shadowy man from Hawaii to override the Constitution, the Supreme Court, the will of the people, and common sense itself? How do we let this man go on one day after another? This shadowy snake from Honolulu. I have no words in my vocabulary to describe the utter contempt I have for this character. I think he is the most dangerous, deceitful man imaginable in the White House. But he is such a skillful liar that most of you have taken it hook, line, and sinker. Now look, if you were a bum in the streets, you'd love Obama. If you were an illegal alien, you'd love Obama. If you were a, let us say, a ne'er-do-well, a nobody, who sits around all day in a cafe and hates everybody in the world because Hollywood is run by the Jews, so-called, and they didn't publish your script. Publishers are run by Jews, that's why they didn't publish your book. In other words, the disgruntled haters that sit in cafes in San Francisco's North Beach, if you were one of them, you'd love Obama too, because you'd think he's one of you, but he isn't even one of you. He's using you, but you don't even understand that. So that's my position. I'm very clear on what I see. I believe I have the evidence to support my arguments. And when I come back, I'll take your arguments on these and other topics right here on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. My old friends used to dance to this music, but they all became dead, I think. So there he is, the clown, amongst the other clowns, talking about a climate crisis, when ISIS is the real crisis. And the fact of the matter is, this is insanity, total insanity. It's a meaningless meeting by meaningless men and women. Problem is, they're very powerful, meaningless men and women. They're corrupt from the top of their head to the bottom of their toes. How do I prove that? George Soros, who I think is the most dangerous evil man on the planet, and Tom Steyer, another crooked weasel in my estimation, are investors in Obama's energy plan. You didn't know that? Didn't make it to your local newspaper? George Soros and Tom Steyer are investors in Obama's new clean energy research plan. It's called the Breakthrough Energy Coalition and is a collection of scoundrels including Soros, Steyer, and cellulosic ethanol scammer Vinod Khosla. The only one missing so far is Elon Musk, they write. You don't know anything about this and what this means? Well, you'll have to read the story. You can find it on the top of the Drudge Report. It's linked from Climate Depot. Soros has purchased an initial 1 million shares of Peabody Energy. Did you know what that is? That's a coal company. He's a new coal baron. After Soros drove down the price of coal by attacking it every which way to Sunday, he went in and he bought coal companies. He bought a million shares of Peabody Energy. Then he bought 553,000 shares of Arch Coal, the two largest publicly traded U.S. coal companies. These companies have been driven perilously close to bankruptcy by the combination of President Liar's war on coal and inexpensive natural gas brought on by the hydrofracturing revolution. You hear? So what happened? Who's now running the coal industry? George Soros, the new king of coal. And you thought he really cared about the environment? You think he cares about open societies? George Soros, Barry, the mainstream media, the unions, the Democrat voters, and Moonbeam Brown, all are parts of the centipede of lies. Soros is a nation killer. He made his billions betting against economies. He destroyed countless lives for his own greedy personal gain and that of his family. He has endorsed the phonies scam, which is more proof that this has nothing to do with science. This global warming scam is a fairy tale designed only to enrich the billionaires on the back of the common man. And running it all, George Soros, the most dangerous man in the world, in my opinion.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
For I believe, in the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., that there is such a thing as being too late. And when it comes to climate change, that hour is almost upon us.
Oh, God, the world's coming to an end.
But if we act here, if we act now.
Shut up. Please, please spare America this windbag. There's no question that intelligent people who have actually investigated this whole issue have come to the conclusion that it's a lie, number one. And number two, only a very small handful of extremely wealthy people are benefiting and will continue to benefit from any of the policies that these clowns might pass to so-called to control the so-called climate change. Now, I can give you evidence if you'd like, and I will, as this hour goes on. I will give you some inconvenient research, which is the Vostok ice core samples, in a minute, to support my position, the one I just stated. But first, let's go to a caller who says global warming is real. Phil, tell us why it's real.
Yes, sir. I'm calling about the opening statement about Obama being in Europe trying to clean up the mess that your capitalist friends have created. Now, 98% of scientists in the world have agreed that global warming is a fact. We have.
Wait a minute. What, you're quoting Obama again. With it. First of all, even Obama says it's 97%. But that has no meaning because all of these scientists are on the government take. Are you aware of that?
I'm not quoting Obama. I'm getting this research from NASA.gov.
Oh, you're getting it from NASA, another reliable organization. Keep going with your false data. Keep going. I'll annihilate every one of the facts that you're stating because they're not facts. They're lies, my friend. You're reading the propaganda and you're taking it as truth.
Well, it's saying that the sea levels have risen. Global temperature.
Who's saying? Who's saying? Which sea levels have risen?
Global sea.
Which sea level has risen?
All sea levels, 6.7 inches in the last century.
Really? Do you live near the water? I live next to the San Francisco Bay. Not one millimeter has this bay gone up.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm sure you're not going to see 6 inches rising all of.
Of course, I would see 6 inches. It's a complete fraud. You know, Phil. If I gave you evidence, would you be willing to admit maybe I'm right and you're wrong? No. So what's the point of it?
The point is that it's being caused by these corporations polluting the environment.
Oh, yeah, corporations, right. Where do you get your bread and water from? Who supplies you with your wheat and your water? Isn't it corporations, Phil?
Well, it's the farmers.
The farmers, really? And they're not corporate farmers? Even if they're a small farmer, it's not a family corporation? They're evil also?
I didn't say they were evil. I'm saying
you said the corporations are capitalist. They're polluting the world, didn't you? And if it was a socialist world, the world would be perfect. Is that your allegation?
Well, all of the industry has been exported over to China, and it's so polluted over there that people can't even go out into the streets.
Well, now you're shifting the argument from America to China. I don't know which one you hate more. What would you like China to go back to, the rickshaw and raising rice by hand?
No, but I'm saying that we don't need...
Phil, where do you get your food from? Tell me, do you buy it in a supermarket or a grocery store?
Why do you think Obama doesn't want to build a pipeline?
Phil, where do you get your food from? Do you buy it in a supermarket or a grocery store, or do you grow your own food?
What has food got to do with global warming?
Where do you get your food from? Do you buy it in a supermarket, grocery store, or do you grow your own food?
No, I get it from the grocery store.
You do. So the grocery store is part of a corporation, isn't it?
Yes.
And the farmers may or may not be agribusinesses, but they're also part of corporations, aren't they? So the very food you eat is raised by corporations. How could you be so naive to say that corporations are evil? They're run by capitalists who pollute the earth. You're not even thinking this through, Phil.
No, you're switching it to food. I'm saying it's from...
Well, you just said corporations. Who is it who raises your food for you but corporations?
Right, but I didn't say food. Corporations are causing global...
Well, of course you didn't, because you didn't think through your own statement. So which corporations exactly are the evil ones, Phil?
Well, to start with, the auto manufacturers. They're producing...
Wait, sorry. Which manufacturers are the evil ones?
Gas up by the... take gas from all, you know, squander gas. That's why Obama doesn't
want... Phil, stop it. Will you stop for a minute? You're not making any sense, Phil. I know that you think you are. It's because you're probably a shut-in and no one ever listens to you. I'm trying to be nice to you. Which industry would you say is the most evil of all?
The most evil of all would be the oil corporations.
Now, why are they evil?
Exxon.
Phil, why are oil corporations evil?
Because they're drilling for oil and pumping this oil, turning it into gasoline, and selling it to the people at a rate...
And Phil, now, what, do you drive a car, Phil?
What?
Do you drive a car, Phil?
Yeah, I drive a cheap car.
Okay, that means that means nothing, but you're a poor man who drives a cheap car, so you hate everybody. That's the main problem. You probably resent the man who has a nicer car, nicer shoes, and a nicer wife. But now you're saying that cars are evil because they use gasoline? What would you suggest, using banana peels?
No, we need to go to electric power.
Oh, you do? Well, let's see how smart that is. Where does the electric car get its energy from?
From electricity.
Yes, generated by what in the car?
I'm sorry?
Come on, Phil, stop asking me questions, because it's a trick that people like you use to trip up intelligent people. Where does the electricity come from in the car?
The electricity comes from an electric motor.
Very good. And what generates the electricity for that electric motor?
The electric companies.
No, excuse me. Didn't you want to say there's a battery in there that drives the electric motor?
Well, yeah, that's part of
it. All right, good. We're getting somewhere. Now, where does the battery get its energy from?
From the nickel carbide or cadmium batteries.
We just said that the energy comes from the battery. Where does the battery get its energy from?
From electricity. It's powered.
Thank you. So in other words, the car owner plugs it into an electrical stand. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, good. Well, so far, so good. Now, where does that electricity come from to power the battery that powers the electric motor in these so-called green cars? It comes from what?
Coal and oil.
All right, Phil. Now you understand that it takes energy to make energy? The question is, what you don't want to ask yourself is the net energy that a car uses to drive, to get the energy to drive, does it pollute less or more when you add up the amount of energy it's getting from plugging in? The answer is it actually uses more energy and causes more pollution than an internal combustion engine being driven by fossil fuels.
Well,
I think I've given you as much as you can take for one lifetime, Phil. So I'll let you go. You were a good caller. At least you're willing to try to answer, and you did. I'm not going to run you off the rails. It's been studied, and it takes more energy and produces more pollution to drive an electric car than does a car using gasoline. Now, you don't need a PhD to follow what I'm about to say. Inconvenient research, the Vostok ice core samples. Now, that sounds very complicated. Most people, they're going to go blank on me right now. And I'm going to read something to you. It's very important. Maybe you'll learn something. Maybe you've never heard of the Vostok ice core samples. Well, look it up. V-O-S-T-O-K. It's very important research. What it is this. It was obtained by drilling down into the ice above Lake Vostok into Antarctica to a depth of 10,000 feet. That's about, how long is that? How far is 10,000 feet? About 2 miles down, right? And they were French and Russian scientists who dug up deep core ice samples, which allowed them to look at, among other things, the history of temperature and carbon dioxide over the past 420,000 years. And guess what? The samples did show that increases in carbon dioxide always accompanied increases in temperature. But guess what? The increases in temperature always came first. What does this mean? It means the increases in carbon dioxide consistently lagged behind temperature increases by about 800 years. I know you're not following me. What does this mean? This proves that increased levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere did not cause warming. How could it have? If it didn't happen until after the warming. This knocks over the entire house of cards being put out by Obama. Wait, there's more. That's not all that the Vostok ice core samples tells us. As Joe Martino reports, 325,000 years ago, listen to that, long before Phil was born, long before Pittsburgh existed, long before Marconi invented the radio, 325,000 years ago, long before Black Lives Matter appeared on the earth, long before Al Sharpton's ancestor gave us the origin of the human species, 325,000 years ago, global temperatures and carbon dioxide levels were higher than they are today. I guess Barry from Honolulu didn't learn any of this when he was at Columbia, learning how to become a community organizer. In fact, we are right now near the end of another warm interglacial. And those of us who were educated in science know that we're actually heading into another glacial cooling period where global temperatures will drop and ice will again form heavily at the poles. It's already happening. The Antarctic has just had the greatest growth of ice in a very long period of time. This information can be found on pages 239 to 241 of Government Zero. Now, I didn't make it up. I'm quoting statistics and facts. And when you quote Goddard and you quote the UN climate research organizations, every one of them have been uncovered to have fudged the data, made it up and changed it. I don't have the time nor the inclination to go into this any further. If you want to study it, you'll find out that Obama is the greatest salesman in the history of the world to have been able to A, get elected twice, B, push these lies down the throats of so many people while ISIS is raging. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COI. Well, there is justice in the world. This story just came in out of New York City, New York State, really. Sheldon Silver found guilty on all counts in corruption trial. You don't know how big this story is. This just shows you that the bigger they are, the harder they fall. This guy was above the law. This guy thought he could get away with anything he wanted. He was, by all count, all measures, one of the most corrupt, vile politicians in the history of New York State. He was former state assembly speaker, Sheldon Silver. He was just convicted on all seven criminal counts in a corruption scheme that traded taxpayer cash and political favors for $4 million in payoffs. A Manhattan federal jury deliberated fewer than 3 days before finding the veteran lawmaker guilty of seven charges of honest services fraud, extortion, and money laundering. Silver, age 71, faces a maximum 130 years in prison for the long-running scam. Now, let me tell you something. This is a huge victory for the anti-corruption crusading Manhattan U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara, but it's a huge victory for Americans everywhere. You don't have to be in New York to understand the adage, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Silver was the epitome of corrupt politician. He meant the word corrupt politician. I would live for the day that I see this happen in California, my home state. I'd give anything to see some of these arrogant crooks that have stolen from the national, from the state treasury, that have traded laws for payoffs. I love to see them marched off in their Brioni suits and their smirks. But we don't have a U.S. attorney out here like Preet Bharara. He's part and parcel of the one world government that we all fear. Today, Sheldon Silver got justice, and at long last, so did the people of New York, said U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara in a statement. According to the New York Post article, jurors had appeared to be in disarray several times during deliberations, with one juror demanding to be taken off the panel because she said other members were hassling her over her views, and another claiming a newly discovered conflict of interest. But the judge ordered them to continue deliberating, and the verdict was rendered just moments ago in Manhattan. This decision cemented a stunning fall from grace that began when the Manhattan Democrat was busted in January following more than three decades as one of the New York State's most powerful politicians. His arrest forced Sheldon Silver to resign his leadership post. but he held on to his longtime assembly seat. There's a lot more to this story that I can't tell you on the radio right now, but over the next few days, I will. All you got to know is this is making people higher than Sheldon Silver in New York State and around the country very, very nervous tonight. They're going to be popping not their champagne, but their Prozac and their tranquilizers. Because if they can get Sheldon Silver as wired into the system and as owning of the judges as he was, it means that no corrupt politician anywhere in this country is safe any longer. Well, at least it means so in New York State, where this incredible U.S. attorney resides. It's a shame he can't come out to California and dig into a little bit of the favoritism, the steering of contracts, and the overt corruption in California, the most corrupt state in the union. This is Michael Savage. Phone number here is 855-400-7282. I know you don't want to talk about this right now because no one knows who Sheldon Silver is, and you figure you don't know what to say about that, but let me tell you, there's a lot to this story. Let's take some calls on the climate change business. WFTL, Bruce, fire away. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi there. I just would like to get your opinion on what's going on with this climate change summit. They have actually said that they're not allowing any protests against it. And I'm surprised that they're doing that, because that seems to call attention to it. But it's also a good sign, because they may sense that a lot of people are not buying it, and they would be against it, and it would be kind of embarrassing. So
The fact of the matter is, it's a complete and total sham. And the fact that they're blocking any protests, as you just said, indicates that they don't want anyone to even question their fraudulent statements. It's that simple. That's all. Read all about it in Government Zero. I have a whole chapter on the climate scam and who benefits from it. See, I wish you good-meaning liberals. Everybody wants a clean environment. Everybody wants clean air, clean water. I do. I've worked for it my whole life, incidentally. But you don't do it by divide and conquering the people with lies unless you're Barry from Honolulu.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Now, the big news of the day is not only the fraud in Paris saying that the climate is a greater threat to our survival than ISIS, which is ludicrous on the face of it. Insane, actually. Mentally disturbing to listen to this rubbish. But the good news is that this powerhouse from New York State, Sheldon Silver, got his deserves today. He got found guilty on all counts, and he's going to jail. Now, you got to know who he is. You don't have to know much about him to follow what I'm about to say to you. This story of this conviction, which just occurred in the last hour, is going to send a shockwave through the nation itself. Every corrupt state and federal politician should be on the lookout, because they're going to be taken down like Silver, as sure as I'm sitting here. Well, I'm not as sure of it. I'd like to see it. Let's put it to you that way. It's wishful thinking. So who is Sheldon Silver? Well, there was an article written by Kyle Smith in the New York Post last week that goes like this. He wrote, Sheldon Silver is the political equivalent of a squeegee man. And he explains what kind of graft he took and how he lined his pockets and lied about it. And here it is. They said his services were corrupted by his greed and lies. by bribery, kickbacks, and extortion. He was found guilty on charges of honest services fraud and extortion because they proved quid pro quo that Sheldon Silver pulled strings in return for money. I'm going to sneeze a little bit. God, I must be allergic to the electrons in the microphone. Something. It could be the mic muff itself. I don't know. Did I blow your ears out with that sneeze? Sorry about that. It's very embarrassing. I usually am a very healthy man, but man, I really got one this time. In fact, the cold is so bad that I missed a trip to Lake Tahoe with my family to see my granddaughter, which was not a pleasant experience for me. But here I am. So who is this, and what does it have to do with you if you live in Colorado? Well, here's a guy, Sheldon Silver, who sat on the top of the heap, and he was pulling in graft. He was as corrupt as they come. And what happens? I'll give you an example. $500,000 in taxpayer-funded grants that Silver did for Robert Taub, whom he barely knew, he never shared a meal with, and to whom he never even gave his cell phone number. And what he got in exchange was this. This Dr. Taub sent Silver asbestos victims who were worth more than $3 million in referral fees via his personal injury law firm. So Sheldon Silver, like many powerful state assemblymen, like many former state assembly speakers, retain their law practices while they're plying their public trade. And they use both to enrich themselves. Only in this case, there was an honest U.S. attorney who brought him down. So this guy, Silver, owned a law firm, and he sued on behalf of asbestos victims. You know that that's a fraudulent area in many cases to begin with. And he made a fortune by doing it. And he gave $500,000 in taxpayer-funded grants to the doctor who was steering clients, right? The defendant got one hell of a quid from the asbestos scheme. The defendant gave Dr. Taub all kinds of quo, said Mr. Goldstein, a U.S. attorney who worked on this case, in a brutally damning three-hour summation. If Silver sent the grant aid and gave these benefits, even in part for the money, the $3 million, that is illegal. In a separate slippery scheme, Kyle writes, Goldstein noted how Silver had managed to pocket some $700,000 by asking a Manhattan real estate firm to send some business to his longtime buddy Jay Goldberg for legal work. Goldberg, in turn, kicked back 25% of his fee to Silver. Are you listening to this? The speaker repaid Glenwood Management, Goldstein explained, by pushing through a state tax break. He hit people up using his official power. He lied, and he lied again and again to keep anyone from learning the truth, said Goldstein, the attorney. Think about what is going on here, he said. The Speaker of the Assembly is meeting with lobbyists, bringing in hundreds of thousands of dollars, setting up a whole process with letters that keep the whole thing secret so he can keep getting paid. This is a crime. Goldstein also argued that Silver was defending himself with the preposterous claim that his schemes were just politics as usual in Albany. But Goldstein, in his summary argument, said this was bribery, this was extortion, this was corruption, the real deal. Don't let it stand, he urged the jury. Well, I'm not going to read all of this article. You can read it for yourself. The fact of the matter is Silver got what he deserved, in my opinion, and Sheldon, the gentleman who wrote this article in the Post a week ago, Kyle Smith, who's a great writer, concluded like this. He said, unfortunately for them, Silver comes across as the political equivalent of the squeegee man who dumps filth all over your windshield and then demands to be paid for it. My only prayer for California is that we had a U.S. attorney like Preet Bharara out here in the San Francisco area. This is the most corrupt city and the most corrupt state in the land by the estimation of anyone who's ever studied the situation. It's a nightmare to live out here. Now, I mean, I love living out here, but I don't like living in a one-party dictatorship at all. Well, that's the Sheldon Silver story. There's another aspect of the story that makes it not personal for me, but emotional for me. Sheldon Silver was a religious Jewish man, allegedly. It's very hard for me to tell you what this does to me. This man used his religion as a weapon, as unfortunately is true in the case of so many people who wear their religion on their sleeves. And it's not limited to any religion. Many people who make a big show of their religion, whether they be Christians, Jewish, Muslims, Hindu, Zoroastrian, whenever you see them showing their religion in public in a very overt way, All I can say is look behind the surface, because the truly religious don't have to show you that they're religious. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-7282. Marty on WABC. Go ahead, please.
Good evening. I'm just curious as to, you know, he got found guilty here today, but I just don't know. Joe Bruno got found guilty here not long ago himself, and he got off on appeal. I'm just wondering if the same thing is going to happen with Sheldon.
I understand. I could be celebrating a little too soon for justice and peace. You know that these people have unlimited money. You know that at the next level, they'll probably buy the jury right out of The Godfather.
The whole thing last time, it was the wording in the law that got Joe Bruno out of it. And I'm just wondering if it's going to be the same here. And then we're just...
I know, Marty, I understand. The system, the legal system, is something that none of us have much faith in anymore. I do, because I've spent a lot of time and money in the legal system fighting for my rights. And although it costs me a lot of time and money, it's proven to be okay for me. And they were liberals, liberal judges. They did the right thing. So, I don't know. Maybe the right thing will happen here. Silva will go away for a very long time in jail. He certainly deserves it. Let me put it to you this way. If a black or Hispanic kid in New York City, or anywhere for that matter, got caught robbing a television set, they'd put him away for 3 to 5. Is that right?
You're absolutely right.
Okay. Here is Sheldon Silva, a certifiable dirtbag, stole millions of dollars. Millions of dollars, and he's found guilty. But you and I know there's a high likelihood he'll buy his way out at the next level. That's the problem. And now you understand why there's such dissension in this country. When you're poor, you don't stand a chance. When you're rich, you stand a very good chance. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. We're talking about a lot of different topics. Let's go to the callers who have a lot to say about these things. Joe on WFTL, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I really take to heart what you said about people wearing their religion on their sleeve. I grew up in a very religious environment and broke away pretty much intellectually completely in college, where I ceased being in a Jewish religious educational universe. And it almost seems like the very, very religious, there's some type of neurotic, psychotic type of element to the behavior.
Well, I can't overgeneralize and say that everyone who is overt, let's say, super religious in any religion, is something wrong with them or doing it for nefarious purposes. I'm just saying, in the case of Sheldon Silver, it's clear to me that he was using his religion as a weapon.
I think there are endless cases of that, and, you know, when I grew up very religious and with very religious people all around me and exposure to no other intellectual or religious streams of consciousness, to be honest with yourself, you have to be able to also realize that there are other world viewpoints, and we are sort of spokes in a wheel. And people that are very belligerent about their beliefs, no matter what the beliefs are, seem to all harbor some internal need to do that beyond what the religion itself seems to dictate.
That's right. In other words, the religion itself should dictate, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But when they practice the religion, whatever it may be, to the exclusion of all other religions, they're going against their own religious tenets. Isn't that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, the first counter-religious philosophy that I learned about in college was existentialism, which I think has its own issues. I think they're in a sort of nihilistic...
Okay, describe for the audience what existentialism is, because you were exposed to liberal teachings, as I was, and then you turned away from your own religion. What is it that you found appealing about existentialism?
The appealing thing about existentialism to me was the very intellectual, honest statement that there is simply freedom and responsibility, and that man must be able to fill the void with something. And man seems to have his biggest conundrum when he's unable to fill that void. of course, religion is a great way to fill that void.
So how do you, as a former religious person, fill that void now that you no longer believe in God?
I became a medical doctor, and I'm busy all day saving people and helping them with their problems, so I don't have to think about my own.
I love it. That's a very good answer. I get a kick out of reality. Because, you know, there's a tenet in the religion, the Jewish religion, that's a great one. There are many, but this one I always remembered, which is, he who saves a single life, it is as though he has saved the entire world. So in a sense, you're acting out that tenet of your own religion as well as many others.
That's right. And, you know, with so many people on the planet really doing nothing all day but trying to figure out how to blow up other people, it's nice to be in a job where all day we deal with little millimeters of arteries and veins and spend hours trying to save one little person, you know?
Why is it that radical Islamists spend their every waking minute thinking about how to destroy human beings instead of save them, while Jewish people, on the other hand, are well known for saving lives? What is it about their religion itself that drives people down that road? This is the part that bothers me the most. How is it that every time there's a suicide bomber, every time there's a terrorist incident, they hold up their holy book and they say they're doing it in the name of Allah? What is it about that holy book that impels them to kill and murder and maim? That's what I want to know. And until people ask themselves that question, they're never going to find the answer.
Well, I mean, I hate to say it, but I think it's beyond the religion. I think there's some racial genetic mechanism in there also. And I think it just goes back to the desert and the law of the tribes and every brother versus his brother and biblical tales of vengeance against the entire lineage of another family because they insulted your honor. And it's just, that's just part of that culture. It is a culture of survival, of violence, of murder and of death. And, you know, one could be very objective and say,
so why is Hussein Obama inflicting hundreds of thousands of Muslims on this nation? Why? You know, and I know that amongst them there are going to be fanatics who will cause harm. Why would he do this to us?
So I agree with what you say. He's either very naive and stupid or he's a plant. So let's forget about him being a plant for a second, in which case he'd want to bring them all in here just to kill us. But if he's very naive and stupid, then maybe he thinks after two or three generations they'll all buy a big screen TV and sit around all day and eat popcorn and get into football, and then he can use the American culture to bring the craziness out of them.
Well, I would think that there are those kinds of that kind of thinking in the sorority around him. That's classic liberalism, which is that if you show them the way, they will follow the way because humans are inherently good. I don't happen to see that as a truth. I don't think humans are inherently good or bad. I think humans are inherently human, and they're capable of becoming good or bad depending upon their upbringing. And if you're teaching them hatred from the cradle to the grave, they're going to wind up hating and killing. It's that simple.
Of course, but, you know, we have to be very fair, and there have been some very good Muslim doctors, and there is a recent case where a Jewish guy was lost in the West Bank in a town, and an Arab guy brought him into his house and saved them from a lynch mob. So, you know, again, we can't generalize. I mean, there's a...
I saw that on YouTube, by the way. It's an amazing story. That the Palestinian came out and pulled him into his house at great risk to himself. I wonder what happened to that Palestinian after the cameras left.
Who knows?
So what kind of medicine do you practice that you have the time to call a radio talk show in the middle of the afternoon?
I'm a cardiologist, but I specialize in pictures of the heart, so it's more of a 9-to-5 job.
Well, we can talk about that endlessly, as I've done with my cardiologist. Thus far, I've been very lucky because I come from a family of early death from coronary artery disease, and so far I haven't been afflicted for a number of reasons, not the least of which is the fact that I was obsessed with nutrition, vitamins, herbs for decades. But I found that only in the last 5 years that I also have a very, very unusual inheritance in the terms of the LPA. I think it's genetic. There's no question in my mind. You know what the lipoprotein A is, right?
Of course.
Yeah, well, it's one of the rare lipids that cannot be controlled by medication nor by vitamins or diet. It is what it is based upon your genes. And I guess I got that from my mother's side. And it explains why, despite my the level of stress that I lived through, despite the fact that I have really violated every dietary protocol I ever wrote about at times, and that I lead the highest stress life of anyone in the history of my family, that I'm still walking the planet. And I think it's this genetic factor, to be honest with you.
Probably is. Have you ever had a calcium score?
I did. I had one of the first calcium scores ever done. Oh, what a story that is. It was 15 years ago. And I remember getting off the bed, and the nurse came over and she said to me, I don't know, she looked at me and I didn't know whether it was good or bad. I thought she was going to find chalk inside my arteries. She said, you have the arteries of a 20-year-old. I jumped off the gurney and I hugged her and I danced around that room because I realized then and there that somebody up there likes me. Doctor, thank you very much for calling the Savage Nation. I'll be back in a moment. Back in the USSR, how today's Russia is like the Soviet era. That's a hit piece on Russia. They all hate Putin. The American dunces who hate America. In other words, the entire press corps. I'm talking about Tapwater, Blitzer, idiots like that. The official government press in the United States is ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and by the way, Fox News. You can throw Fox News into the mix of the official government press. Why do I say it? I just saw a poll on climate change on the Fox News channel. I looked carefully. It said, do you think the United States should sign the climate treaty? 66% say yes. They're quoting a CBS poll. Now, why would Fox News quote a CBS New York Times poll unless they're part and parcel of the same establishment mentality? Answer is they wouldn't, because they are. So now you can put an X through Fox News. Yes, okay, I know they don't like me. I know I'm not allowed on the station, but it's not sour grapes. It's so apparent to me that since Murdoch Jr. took over, this place has become uninhabitable for conservatives. The only thing, well, okay, let's stop right there. I'll stay on a good track. I'll stay on a positive track. So the poll is false. CBS, New York Times poll? You're kidding me. So all the media in America hates Putin, even though he's now revered by most people in the world, for the only one with the guts to take on ISIS, because Barry from Honolulu, this thin, smoking, hostile man in the White House, is so jealous, or shall I say envious, of Putin's strength, resolve, and also because they're on the opposite sides of this issue. Let me tell you something. If you study world events the way I do every day of my life since I'm 18, your president is backing ISIS, which is why he hates Putin. There's no other way to... I'll cut to the chase. Obama is backing ISIS. I mean, what, are you got to be a genius to figure this out? All the weapons they use are U.S.-made weapons. Turkey shot down a Russian jet, which, by the way, was shot down over Syrian airspace, and it landed in Syria. There was no warning given. All of you who supported Turkey should be ashamed of yourself. You're nothing but holdovers from the Reagan era. You're so stupid that you think that this is the same Russia as the Soviet Union that Ronald Reagan hated. You idiots can't grow up. You can't open your mind to what's going on here. You're now on the side of Turkey and the ISIS groups. That's what you are. So now NBC tries to do a hit piece on Putin. So they do a piece called Back in the USSR, How Today's Russia is Like the Soviet Era. And they start to do the hit piece. So now here they list how it's like that. One, the anthem. One of the freshly elected decisions was to restore the Soviet national anthem from 1944, the one he grew up with. Two-thirds of the Russian population approved of the move by 2002. So that's a bad thing to the communists in this country, or shall I say the new socialists in this country, or shall I say the men without a country in this country. So they don't like the Russian anthem. That's a sign that they're living in the Soviet era. Then it says the party. In Soviet times, there were no parties other than the Communist Party, and membership was a prerequisite for career advancement. Why don't you just substitute the word Democrat Party? And tell me if it's any different in America today. Tell me if it's different amongst the news media today and amongst the politicians today. It's ISIS versus Christ in the world, by the way. Has anyone put it to you that way? Did you know it's ISIS versus Christ? I'll make it as simple as I can for the... this is called Politics for Dummies. It's ISIS versus Christ. Now, throw in the Jews as if you want us to, because they like to kill every Jew on the planet. And by the way, they say so. It's in their holy book. They hold up the holy book as they try to bomb a Jewish center or a Jewish clinic or bomb a Christian church. Oh, it's in their holy book, all right. It's ISIS versus Christ. But don't ask the dunce in Paris who's telling you climate's a bigger threat. You got to ask yourself, which side is the dunce on? So I talked about that. So I watched a boxing match over the weekend, the heavyweight title fight between Klitschko and this guy. You got to believe this. Even if you're not a boxing fan, you got to listen to this story. The new champion is 6'9". He's part Irish, part they call themselves travelers, part gypsy. Now, I never heard of the man. He's awesome. I love this guy. And they hate him. All of the liberal newspapers hate this guy, Tyson Fury. They're calling him a Bible-thumping bigot and a homophobe. You hear this? Can you believe we live in a world where the guy wins the heavyweight championship and the best they can do at the New York Post under Murdoch Jr. is call him a bigot because he, listen to this, he wins the fight against Klitschko, who was an embarrassment. Klitschko's this big Ukrainian fighter who I've idolized for years. He's an embarrassment to the boxing profession. He didn't even lift his hands to fight back. He tried to, I don't want to go into the details of it. Klitschko's a big guy. He's like 6'5", and he's always looked down on fighters and been able to pound them from above. Well, now he faces a 6'9", 280-pound giant, Tyson Fury. And this guy, after he wins, he gives a speech. It's traditional. And he thanks his Lord Jesus Christ for the victory. That's number one. Now, remember, the fight took place in Dusseldorf, Germany. This is at a time when the Muslims are on a warpath around the world, especially in the East German, Merkel's Germany. They're on a warpath. Everyone's afraid to say that they're Christian, not him. The guy gets up after he wins, Tyson Fury, and he says, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says it maybe five times. And then on and on and on he goes. And to top it off, he picks up the microphone. I never saw this in my life. And he says, I want to sing a song to my lovely wife. And he breaks into a rock song to his wife who is in the ring. I've never seen anything like this guy. He's 280 pounds. He's 6'9" or 7 feet tall. And he was born as a 1-pound infant. Did you know that? He was born 3 months premature at 1 pound. Doctors feared he wouldn't survive. But his father had no doubt. John Fury told the Mirror before Tyson Fury dethroned Vladimir Klitschko in a 12-round decision in Germany. He said this. He said, I told him God was looking down on him. I said, he'll be all right. He will be 7 feet, 280 pounds, and heavyweight champion of the world, and I named him Tyson after Mike Tyson. Well, he's 6'9", he weighs 250 pounds, and he's now heavyweight champion of the world because Klitschko didn't even lift his hands. It was an embarrassment. But this guy, this Fury, is of Irish gypsy heritage, and he comes from a bloodline of bare-knuckle champions on both sides of his family. Fury said, I'm proud of what I am. The traveler background gives you the will to win before anything else you learn to fight. When we have a dispute, we sort it out with our fists. Listen to this. I mean, this guy is so on PC, it's amazing. Wait, it gets even better. That's why they hate him in the New York Post. He says he has his unusual upbringing and devout Christian faith to thank for his success. But critics have said his controversial views make him a bad role model. Now, what has he said that's bad? You decide for yourself if he's a bad role model. He says there are only three things that need to be accomplished before the devil comes home. One of them is homosexuality being legal in countries. One of them is abortion, and the other one's pedophilia, Mr. Fury told the Daily Mail earlier this month. Who would have thought that in the 50s and 60s, who would have thought in the 50s and 60s, he said, that those first two would be legalized? Well, those are controversial views. They get even more controversial. Are ready for these? Tyson Fury, the new heavyweight champion, went on. He said, a woman is there to be loved, cook food, and have some kids. Like Muslims have their ways, we have ours. There are girls who open their legs to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. They're looked upon as rubbish. If I had a sister who did that, I'd hang her, Fury said. Now, you realize that this kind of rhetoric can't be allowed in Obama's America. Fury said he modeled his career on the man he was named after, the baddest man on the planet. And on and on. If you want to read more about him and see his picture, it's on michaelsavage.com. I enjoyed the fight thoroughly. I loved it. So I go back to this article, this hit piece, by back in the USSR, how today's Russia is like the Soviet era. They try to put a hit piece on it. So they start with the anthem, then the party. There's no parties other than the Communist Party. And I say, oh, yeah, well, substitute the Democrat Party and see if that doesn't apply here in America. Now we go to spies. Here's what they write. By the mid-2000s, up to 80% of the Russian ruling establishment was made up of people with backgrounds in security services, according to a study. The trend was confirmed in numerous subsequent studies. Above all, this included the Soviet secret police, the KGB, which handled counter-espionage and brutally suppressed political dissent. Okay, that's real. Now, the KGB successor to the Federal Security Service, the FSB, okay, FSB, if you watch Homeland, that's the FSB, is now both powerful and feared. It is tasked with fighting spies and extremists, but it also monitors the political opposition to the government. Now, question. FBI in America, CIA in America, DIA in America, all DHS in America. Don't you think that they're both powerful and feared? And don't you think they're tasked with fighting not only spies and extremists, but also the American people themselves? Don't you think these organizations in America also monitor the political opposition to Obama's socialist government? Well, of course they do. So what's the difference between the Soviet Union and the USA in this regard? Very little. Dissidents. Now listen to this, what they write, trying to hit, a Putin. They write this. Joseph Stalin, the Soviet Union's feared leader who ran the country with an iron fist from 24 to 53, purged, imprisoned, and executed his critics. Even in post-Stalin times, the regime punished those who threatened or disagreed with it. So dissidents were fired, jailed, expelled, confined to psychiatric wards, and harassed by the KGB. That's all true. I read my Solzhenitsyn. But what does it have to do with Putin? They don't do that anymore. They say Russia's opposition today also fights an asymmetric battle. Its leaders face criminal cases and regular arrests. Thugs harass them at events, and officials drown them in red tape. I said, really? Now let's look at America. Let's see what the Obama opposition faces. Let's see. Do the opposition, the opponents of Obama, face criminal cases? Oh, yeah. How about that bakery case? How about all of the people who were punished by the illegal, illegitimate, fascistic IRS or the EPA? Then it says that in Russia, thugs harass opposition leaders at events. Are you telling me that conservatives are not harassed at every event by government thugs or by thugs in America who are working for the government, such as Black Lives Matter, like the National Action Network under Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson thugs? Are you telling me that they're not thugs who are fundamentally working with and for the government? And then they finish by saying, and officials in Russia drown their opponents in red tape. Oh, really? The IRS and the EPA don't do that in our country? Okay, now let's go down the list. I'm deconstructing this for you. This is a very important thing for you to understand. So NBC, in their attempt to continue to smear Putin, are trying to say it's like the Soviet Union, but they can't do it. Moreover, everything they say about Russia applies to America under Obama. I'll read you another one. Media control. Soviet media broadcast only what officials wanted it to, and access to foreign media was banned. In the 2000s, one of Putin's first moves was to bring back under state control the leading television channels, Russia's main source of information. They have since turned into pro-government vehicles. I'm going to ask you straight out, are you telling me that Jake Tapwater, Wolf Blitzer, any of the other clowns on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, or even Fox News, are you telling me then they're not exactly like state-controlled media? Tell me how they differ. Tell me that they're not pro-government vehicles. And then they go on and they undermine their own argument. And they say, nevertheless, Russia has many independent small media outlets that offer alternative points of view. Now, because of the internet cable and the accessibility of international print media, Russians can get their hands on a wide variety of organizations. And so what's their point? So there is no overt media control like in the Soviet Union. Ladies and gentlemen, I rest my case. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600. You know, it's sad. People don't know what to do. They look in the iPhone. They think it's the Oracle that's going to lead them to everything. A date, a meal, salvation. There's no need for a Bible. No need for anything anymore, just an iPhone. The saddest picture I saw was during the attacks by the Islamo-fascists, when these vermin, subhuman, carrying a Quran in one hand and a machine gun in the other, were machine gunning people. And they showed some video camera inside a cafe of the people running, as you would be scared to death. You don't know what to do. And I see a man in there pull out an iPhone. As the glass is flying into the cafe from the machine gun bullets hitting the glass, he's looking on his cell phone, his iPhone, for some advice on how to avoid getting killed. It was unbelievable to me. There's no ability to even put two and two together anymore. So now here in America, listen to this article. Illegal immigrants sue Oregon over ballot measure denying licenses. This is an astounding story. They got a lawsuit together, five illegal aliens who didn't belong here to begin with. They go to the ACLU, or the ACLU goes to them. The ACLU, again, I'll repeat, is a legal terrorist organization that is more powerful than Congress itself because they've planted judges throughout America. I tell you the truth, if I had the power, I would, the first order of business would be to put, well, I can't go down the line right now. If I had the power, I would outlaw George Soros from operating in America. I would outlaw the ACLU from operating in America, and I'd make them prove that they're not a domestic terrorist organization. Listen to what I'm saying to you. 35 of Oregon's 36 counties voted against licenses for illegal aliens, as did every congressional district in the state. And almost every district in that state is represented by Democrats. Nevertheless, these illegal aliens who invaded the country, no one forced them to come here. They came here willingly. These five illegal aliens who were named only by their initials because they understand what they're doing is incendiary, file a lawsuit alleging that this ballot initiative is unconstitutional because it denies driving privileges based on membership in a disfavored minority group. It goes on and alleges Oregon voters were motivated by animus toward persons from Mexico and Central America. Well, it's nonsense. Cynthia Kendall, president of Oregonians for Immigration Reform, said it's not the responsibility of Oregonians to make illegal immigrants comfortable or able to drive to jobs they don't legally have. She said they came here by choice. They weren't brought here against their will. And with those choices come hardship, she said. Now, remember, this was a public vote. It's in a Democrat state. It doesn't stop the domestic legal terrorist organization from the ACLU to go against every common sense law that's passed in this country. Now, what chance do these illegal aliens and their communist fellow travelers in the Anti-Christian Liberties Union have? Very little. You want to know why? Because federal judges are very hesitant to strike down state statutes on constitutional grounds. Let's hope that holds up.